If you were here last week, then you know that Saul had his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Saul has repented of his former way of life. He's put his trust in Jesus, and he's been forgiven of all of his sins. He's invited Jesus to come and to be the leader of his life. But what did that look like for Saul in his life? Did it make any difference in the way that Saul lived each day? Well, it absolutely did. He did a complete 180-degree turnaround, and he began to live every single moment of his life for Jesus. Today, as we continue working our way through Acts, we're going to look at Acts chapter 9, verses 20 to 31. You may want to get there. We'll read it in just a few moments. We're going to be talking about growing in Christ. See, we can learn a lot from Paul. After all, he was just a man. God's work in his life made him look like a hero. But Paul would be the very first person to tell you that it was all God and not Paul that accomplished all of those great things. Paul's life, especially in his early years, show us how we can keep on growing. The main truth of today's message is this. Every person, every single one of us who receives Jesus as our forgiver and our leader, we need to keep on growing in our faith. So what does a growing Christian look like? Well, let's read our scripture, and then we'll dive into it a little bit farther. So if you would stand, let's read Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through 31. It reads like this. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night, lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Thank you. May all be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. This morning, what I want us to do is look at four characteristics of someone who is growing spiritually. The first one is that a growing Christian always seeks to know who Jesus is. Now, Paul, he immediately began to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. He was only able to do that after his encounter with Jesus on the road, followed by time spent in Jesus' presence. As Paul got to know Jesus better every day, he was able to boldly tell others why they too should put their trust in Jesus. Now, it's interesting to know that Paul's knowledge of Jesus was not limited simply to his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. That must have been an awesome, terrifying experience to meet on the road in Damascus. But Paul had apparently been talking with the Lord every single day since that encounter. Just to read some of the letters that Paul sent out to the churches and individuals about prayer. He tells them that he is praying for them. He tells them to pray without ceasing. He tells the Corinthians that he prays in tongues more than all of them. Paul, his goal was to stay as close to Jesus as he possibly could. That was the only way that he could get to know Jesus better. Paul's goal to know Jesus more. It can be seen in Philippians chapter 3 at verse 10, where he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. These words that Paul wrote are written by an elderly man who knew that his life was coming to an end, and he had served Jesus for many years. But his chief goal, even at this stage in his life, is still to get to know Jesus Christ better. See, if we ever get to a place in our life where we don't think we need to pursue knowing Jesus anymore, then that is a point when we come to a spiritual standstill. Our spiritual life can become stagnant. I don't want that to ever happen in my life, and I hope you don't either. So, Lord, help us to seek to know you more. Help us to pray, sharing our heart with you. Help us to worship, sharing our praise to you. And help us to do what you say, showing our obedience to you. Do you know who Jesus is? Well, the better question is probably asked like this: are you getting to know who Jesus is? See, if we say we already know who Jesus is, it kind of sounds like we know everything about him. But if we are getting to know him better, then we're fulfilling the purpose for which we were created, and that is to have this relationship with him. And we will do that forever and ever. You see, even after 10,000 years, we will not be able to say that we know everything about Jesus. And why is that? That's because Jesus, just like God the Father, is infinite. It would be more realistic to try to empty the Pacific Ocean one bucket at a time than it would be to arrive at a place where we think we know everything about our eternal God. But you see, that shouldn't discourage us. Just think about it. It should make us feel grateful that somebody so big and so powerful as God, he wants to know us as well. He wants to know each and every one of you on an intimate relationship, an intimate level. So a growing Christian makes it his or her goal to know Jesus personally. And the second characteristic is that a growing Christian is seen in their desire to grow and to become all that God wants them to be. Because a growing Christian embraces the growth process. Our scripture says, yet Saul grew more and more powerful, and he baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. All of the training that Paul had received under Gamaliel and these other leaders, it was all part of God's plan to shape Paul into the person that he became. He had a stellar understanding of God's word. He was well educated. And as the Holy Spirit brought that knowledge to life, Paul was able to share. He could share passionately and he could share knowledgeably about God's plan to forgive and to restore people's lives through his Messiah, Jesus. See, Paul knew that God had been preparing him for this time in his life. He embraced what it is that God wanted to do in him and through him. Verse 23 says, after many days had gone by, There are several Bible scholars who believe that this phrase, many days, it was actually a span of about 3 years, a time when Paul spent in Arabia and Damascus. But what was he doing during that time? Some believe that Paul went into a time of seclusion, sorting out his past mistakes, spending time in prayer, worshiping in God's presence, rethinking his theology in light of this Jesus as the Messiah. Now, there is no doubt that Paul did all of those things, but there is no real reason to believe that he went into solitude for 3 years. Now, Arabia, it was an area that extended all the way to the walls of Damascus. It's likely that Paul didn't go into hiding, but that he continued to share with the people in Arab, the Arabian people, that God loved them and that they needed to repent, to call on the Lord and to commit their lives to Jesus. So whether Paul needed those 3 years of solitude and communion with the Lord, or whether he went about ministering to all of those in Arabia, what we know is that he was growing and that he was continually becoming who God wanted him to be. Paul embraced this growth process. He began to use the passions and the gift that God had given to him. He began to preach the gospel. He knew what God's will was for his life. No longer was he resisting God. No longer was he fighting against God. He was now fully cooperating with God and the Holy Spirit, the very one that he had been formerly persecuting. But how about you? Where are you growing? Are you cooperating with what you sense is God's will for your life? Do you share Jesus with others? Now, I understand that we are not all called to be apostles or prophets or evangelists or even pastor teachers. However, we are all called to be witnesses. We are all called to be ministers for Jesus. We can testify about what it is that he has done in our lives. Are you using the gifts that God has given you? Are you developing those gifts? Because, see, if you don't use them, there is a chance that you could lose them. So if we want to grow, then let's keep on getting to know Jesus better. Let's fully embrace this growth process that each and every one of us are on, ones that God has taken us through. And the third characteristic of a growing Christian has to do with facing adversity, because a growing Christian learns how to handle opposition. Now, there are at least three occasions in our scripture this morning in which Paul faced opposition. The first, the Jews in Damascus, they were trying to kill Paul. The second was that the Christians in Jerusalem, they initially rejected Paul out of fear. And the third was that the Hellenistic Jews, the ones in Jerusalem, they were trying to kill him. Now, Hellenistic Jews were Jews who had moved away, and they started to learn Greek, and they started to embrace some of the Greek process. Now, we may never face the intense hatred and the fearful rejection that Paul faced, but we will all probably have to, in some form or another, face some opposition. And when that happens, how are you going to respond? If you find that somebody does not like you, or that someone has misunderstood something that you've done or something that you said, how will you react? The most common reaction for most of us is to take an offense, is to get hurt, to get defensive about it, to feel hostile toward that person. Suddenly, they can't do anything right because we see them through the lens of our own hurt. Growing Christians, we must find a better way to respond to opposition. If the opposition is in the form of being wronged, And it comes from someone who is another believer, someone who you normally have fellowship with, say in this group here. Then you should try to work it out with them privately. Just you and them, one-on-one, talk about it. See if you can come to an understanding. If that doesn't work, then the Bible says that you need to take one or two witnesses. And you need to approach them, and you need to try to work it out that way. If that still does not work, the person does not want to listen, or you can't come to some understanding, some agreement, then you need to take it to the church through the leadership first. If that still does not resolve the issue, resolve the matter, then you are supposed to disassociate yourself from the other person. However, you must not let that become a personal offense or a grievance, something that you're going to have to carry around with you that keeps you hardened and bitter. We should not speak evil of the person. We should not engage in gossip about that. But what happens if the opposition is from someone who is not a believer, does not follow Jesus Christ? Well, here's what Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. He said, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." We're supposed to love them, and we are supposed to pray for them. Well, we should probably be doing that for everybody, even other believers, if there's some opposition, still praying for them and loving them. Keep on loving, keep on praying. But you see, if somehow we choose to hold on to an offense, hold on to some kind of wrong, and we don't forgive someone, then we are in danger of stunting our own spiritual growth, of stalling our growth process. Whenever we want to hold on to an offense and we won't let it go, we are inviting the enemy, Satan himself, or one of his underlings to come into our lives and to wreak havoc and to make a mess of things. Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 15, it says it like this: "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." That bitter root, it grows from the seed of an offense. And if it is allowed to grow and to continue to grow, it will cause a world of hurt and trouble. Many other people could be affected by it as well. So don't let conflict or opposition become an offense that spreads throughout your life and spills out into the lives of others. Pray, love, forgive, and let God take care of the rest. Finally, in addition to knowing Jesus, to embracing this growth process that we are all going through and learning how to deal with conflict, a growing Christian learns to rely on fellow believers. Now, Saul, he had rejected his teacher's counsel. You know, when Gamaliel had told him and the rest of the Sanhedrin to leave the Christians alone? But now we see a different man. Rather than acting on his own, Saul received the help of other godly men during three difficult situations, the one we spoke about earlier. Now, when the Jews in Damascus tried to kill him, his Christian friends helped him out. They took him by night, and they lowered him in a basket through a hole in the wall, and he was able to get away. When the Christians in Jerusalem rejected Paul out of fear, his Christian brother Barnabas spoke up for him and helped him out. Told the apostles about his Damascus encounter with Jesus. Told him how he had fearlessly preached. So Saul was able to stay with them and move about freely. And finally, when those Hellenistic Jews tried to kill Paul, the other apostles, they stepped in. And verse 30 says, when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea. And they sent him off to Tarsus. Now, we sometimes view Paul as being a very independent person. He didn't need anybody but Jesus. However, if we look more closely at his life and the things he went through, we would see that Jesus and other believers, Jesus used other believers to minister to his life, to give him this wise counsel. Now, Paul always filtered that counsel with what he recognizes as God doing in his life and working through him with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. If you are a Christian here this morning, if you are a Christ follower, a believer, are you still growing in Christ? Are you still seeking to know Jesus more? Are you embracing this growth process that you're going through? Or maybe you're just sitting there, you're comfortable where you're at. You're sitting in your comfort zone just hanging out there. How do you deal with conflict? Are you learning to forgive and to release these offenses to God? How are your relationships with other believers? Do you seek out close friendships with other Christians, people who you can trust, accountability partners, if you will? Are you learning to rely on other believers for prayer, for support, for encouragement, or for counsel? Now, if you can say yes to these questions, then your faith is probably still growing. You're still moving forward in your walk. However, if your answer to these questions is no, then maybe you need to reevaluate things. Maybe you need to look at things a little differently. See, God and other believers, they can help keep you moving forward. They can help keep you on track, if you will. Now, let me speak to anyone in here this morning who is not a Christian. You are not a Christ follower, if you will. And by that, I mean you've never asked Jesus Christ to come and to forgive you for your every wrong thought or word or action. You have never asked him to come and to be the leader of your life. You have never invited him to come and to sit on the throne of your life and to take control. I have three simple words for you. Simple because they are A, B, and C. The first word is A, to admit. Admit that you have sinned against God. The scripture tells us we have all sinned. Every single one of us. The second is B, believe. Believe that Jesus, he is God's son. He died on a cross so that you could be forgiven. And he rose again on the third day. And he conquered death. The third word is C, confess. Confess to Jesus that you want him to become and to be the leader of your life. You want him to take control. Now, I understand you can do these ABCs, admit, believe, and confess, anywhere at any time. But understand this, that is the most important decision you will ever have to make as a human being. That decision affects where you will spend all of eternity. Jesus, he can come and he can change your heart. He can give you a brand new start. The question I have for you as we wrap this up is, are you still growing in Christ?